I have... we live in a very blessed time to be able to have the gift of being able to join in on worship services through, you know, Facebook and that. That's a relatively new thing for us, the Primitive Baptist, this church. We've had that for the last couple of years. One of the things that the COVID deal kind of ushered in was that, and I'm really thankful for it. Over this last month, and it's been kind of a quick month, it seems like, since we were here last, and I attempted to preach on repentance, and felt like I had a little bit of liberty on it, but then Brother Mark, as we know, he's been very much preaching on that in the last couple of weeks, and I have the opportunity to join you guys. It's always after the fact, right? Whether I'm driving home from a church or, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, typically, I join in on that. It's later on. And how blessed this church has been to be able to dive into it and see so much in the subject of repentance. Feel so encouraged by the message that we've received. It's just been like one big message that I personally have learned so much in hearing. The Lord has really blessed Brother Mark in those things, but I suspect he might not be done yet. I don't know. I truly believe he follows the leadership of the Spirit and isn't going to get into it unless the Lord will guide him into that. That puts me in a precarious situation right now because I'm kind of like right in between possibly what might be a continuing message. You can kind of get a sense of that. So my fear is that whatever I might have to say before this church body might disrupt that. So pray please with me that whatever we might bring forward this morning might not disrupt, but rather harmonize and support. So do continue to pray. It's in line with what we spoke on before and what kind of we've been focusing on as a church body. We'll just say this. One of the major things that I've learned and been blessed to see is that repentance isn't just only turning around and going 180 back. I've always kind of thought of it that way. And what we've learned is that's not the case. It's not in every case a turning 180 and going back in the same direction. To be honest with you, that's what I thought it was. But there's more than that. We've learned it's turning to God, right? That's the major thing that I've really pulled from this. But what I would like to end at this morning is that when we do turn to our Lord, what do we do when we get there? Mm-hmm. What do we do when we get to our Lord? When we turn to Him, the Lord grants us that grace to turn to Him. What do we do when we get there? I think you have the answer, because we know these things. And that is to do what we see in His Word, in these examples in God's Word, of individuals who walked at the same time of the life of Jesus Christ when He was manifested here in the flesh, when He went about His ministry, going and healing and teaching and being that one. People that were, their lives ever changed because of the way that they interacted with their Lord. When they turned to Him, what did they do? We see it time and time again. What we find is that they fell at the feet of Jesus. Can you think of any times in scriptures where you've read and found an individual who fell at the feet of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who fell at the very feet of God, who fell in reverence and in submission and dependence, in love, and in worship of Jesus Christ, their Lord? I can think of many. And if the Lord can direct my mind, I'd like to try to go look at several of those. And I need the Lord's direction because there's several places I want to go. Let's go first to Luke. There's several places in Luke, and we'll try to kind of focus our mind here in this gospel, but might go in different places. Start here in Luke chapter 8. In just this one chapter, we see multiple occasions, events that kind of happen back to back, where The Lord has one of His, your children at His feet. Right? And I trust in each one of these things we might get layers of things that the Lord has for us, of the benefit it is for the child of God to fall at the feet of their Savior Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 8, let's start here in verse 26. And what I struggle with here is I for time's sake, I cannot read all of this. We cannot read it, but let's try to paraphrase and summarize some of these things. We have Jesus Christ who has just delivered His disciples on a ship where He calms the winds and the waves, and they end up here in Gadarea. And there's this one man who has been plagued for however many years, this man who has many demons within him. His life has been just absolute torment because of what he is going through and what is possessing him. And the Lord meets him there. I don't think the Lord just happened upon him. I think the Lord had him in mind when He went through Gadarene. He had him in mind. And this one, as we can read in other places, other Gospels as well, he was a problem. He was a problem to himself. He was a problem to his community. They tried to bind him with chains and fetters, and every time they did, he just plucked them off. And he was a kind of a menace, is the way I see it. But the Lord meets him where he's at. We pick up here in verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. Can you imagine how dark that situation is? This man, he's out there and he's a problem to the people and to the communities, and he's living in, not among the tombs, he says he's living in tombs, like within the sepulchres. It's kind of a dark individual with a lot of things going on that are not good. It says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." This wild Gadarene, who had been a problem to himself and to his community and to all those, and had been that troubled one, when Jesus came, when no one else and no other thing could tame this individual, here comes the Son of God, and all of a sudden, submission happens. Mm-hmm. That one falls down, still possessed with those demons, with those spirits, falls down. Why? Because he must submit to the Most High God. One thing that we see in falling at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an act of reverence and submission and acknowledgement that of one that's of a higher rank than us. He was falling at the feet of God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. There must be submission, that posture of submission at the feet of Jesus Christ. And we see that as we continue on. We know that as he goes through, he commands those spirits to leave that individual. He sends them off into to a herd of swine. The swine go down the hill and are drowned in the sea, removing that problem from this individual. And then all of a sudden, this delivered one, you know where he is after the fact? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. He falls in submission. He demonstrates that dynamic there. And then now a delivered one, having had that problem removed for himself, and what we find is also his community, for those that are around him, that he finds himself at that same place, the right place, the very best place for him. And that's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Verse 35, it says, "Then they went out of the city," that being the people, "they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man," that wild Gadarene who was wild no more,
found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I think they were shocked. It was a remarkable scene to see this one who had been that troubled one, right? That they all probably knew about. That wild Gadarene's always out there. Here he is, sitting, calm, peaceful, clothed. And he says, in his right mind. Yes. This is the difference. This is a different man, seems like. It's a delivered man. And he is sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Well, we understand this is, we oftentimes, in our turmoils, in what the things that we go through where it seems like our minds are out of control and just all over the place. When we're at the feet of our Savior Jesus Christ, when we find ourselves there, that is when we are the most in our right mind. We're in the right place with the right perspective. That's where we ought to be, in our right mind, calm, peaceful. That's the place we want to be. We continue on. He's journeying on here, and we get here to about the verse 40 or so, and there's this one who we know, Jairus?
Yeah.
Who is a ruler of the synagogues. You think about that, a synagogue, think of that as kind of like a Jewish church, whatever, and this is a ruler. This is one who has authority, one who others answer to, or it's kind of that leadership role, and I think he, you know, they own that position. But here's this one who comes seeking a miracle from Jesus Christ because his daughter was laying at the point of death, very sick, on her deathbed, right? And he comes seeking Jesus. Verse 40, it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. This one who was a ruler, again, he had to submit himself, and he had to demonstrate this acknowledgement of one who is of a higher rank, of a higher authority, than even a ruler of the synagogue. He was in a place where he was willing to set that aside and go to one who was of a higher power than him. And what he was doing at that moment was bringing his burdens to the feet of Jesus. Bringing his burdens. Think about what that he must have been going through with his daughter that he loved, his little 12-year-old daughter who lay on her in her bed, sick at the point of death. And he brought that burden to the feet of Jesus Christ, beseeching him, asking the Lord to intervene and to heal. I believe this morning we've had prayer requests that were bringing the very burdens that we have upon our mind and of our hearts to the very feet of Jesus, to the place where we go, to his throne where he rules and he reigns. We took them to no other place, and we had no other place to take our burdens to, but to the feet of our Lord. We go to him, beseeching him. We lay whatever we have aside and we go to him, begging that he intervene, trusting in faith that he has the very power and willingness to deliver his people in the way that our Lord can only deliver. Jairus goes to him and brings his burdens. Let's not ever in our lives think that we don't have a place to take our burdens to. We have the very best place to go, and that's straight to our Lord. It continues on, if he agrees with Jairus to go and to help in the way that Jairus is asking, en route. This scene is so incredible to think of from the different perspectives of Jairus and those that thronged Christ and that woman who had the issue of blood and this whole thing. Jesus agreed, we're going to go. I'm going to go with you. And they're going. And there's those that were around Christ that were so much so that they were thronging him. Or I just see that as this large group of people who were just huddled around him, following him where he would be. And then there's this little woman who brought her own issue. Her issue that she had been struggling with, this issue of blood. And she sought to get just close enough. Close enough to the Savior. Close enough to the one who had already demonstrated the power to deliver. To do things that were beyond natural logic. And she just within herself in faith said, if I can just get close enough. If I can get near his feet. If I can get close enough and just touch the very hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She had belief of where the power was. And that was low and at the feet of her Savior. And she pressed in to that point. Continuing on here, let's go to verse 47. It says, and when the woman saw that she was not well, she touches his garment. She knows within herself that she's been healed of this ailment, right? This problem. This problem that she had gone to other places, right? She had gone to physician after physician. And after all that, all the things that had been tried, right? Their attempts, the issue had never been worse at this very moment. It hadn't gotten better, it's only gotten worse. But when she touched the hem of his garment, she knew that she was healed, right? And we pick up here and it says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. The Lord had kind of stopped this moving throng, and he acknowledged that someone had touched him, the very hem of his garment, someone had touched him, and that they asked, you know, how say is that someone touched you? We're thronging you. It says, I know that someone touched me, that I felt virtue flow out of me. And she knew that it was her, right? She got called out. She knew that the virtue that Christ was saying, I know virtue has flown out of me, because she knew that it was within her now. That she was who Christ was pointing at. Here's where we see here that, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. Where? At the feet of Jesus. She came trembling, knowing that she was the one that Christ was talking about. She knew that she was the one. Even though there was this large group of individuals who were right around the Savior, she knew she was the one the Lord was talking about. And she came down and she fell. You know what she didn't do, Sister Marilyn? She didn't run. She didn't go in the other way or try to remove herself from that scene. She came trembling and she fell at the feet of her Savior. She came and what she was asking for was mercy at the feet of her Savior. That's another thing that we have is when we come to Him is when we fall down at His feet, Sister Lee, we claim one thing and that is mercy. You know what we don't claim? You owe me this. I deserve this. It's my time to get what I need, Lord. No. We fall down with a posture of, Lord, mercy is my only plea. That's what this woman fell down with. Was mercy. She came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And you know what the Savior's answer to that was? Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. We fall down at the feet of our Lord. And we claim mercy in our Lord in His love and in His great mercy that He has for us. He gives us comfort. He gives us that sweet answer that you think about the that a merciful answer of a parent towards their child, where they just desire to just comfort them. How much more our Heavenly Father, who gives us comfort and shows and extends mercy to His dear child. And then it picks right back up, and Jesus continues on with Jairus, and they go, and one comes and says, "Don't worry, no need to go any further. Thy daughter is dead. Jairus' daughter is dead. Don't, no reason to bother the master anymore." And he says, "No, we're going." And they go down, and he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Just an absolute beautiful scene there. Let's turn over here to John, chapter 11. There's this one that wording here is just really good. John chapter 11. Start here in verse 31. Then the Jews, verse 31, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth into the grave to weep there." This picks up at the scene where Lazarus had died, and that he laid in the grave for 4 days. He was dead in the grave. Martha came out and had a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord told her that he was the resurrection. And then Mary, Martha's sister, Lazarus' sister, Mary, came, the second one to come to Christ. She came. Verse 32, it says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto the Lord, If thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Here we see Mary, who was a friend of Jesus. They had a relationship already. They had spent time together. But here, her brother has passed away and was laying in the grave. And she came out, and what we see is that she, the first place she went was down to his feet. And I think what she was looking for at that moment was comfort of her Lord. She was in pain. She was going through one of her darkest hours, when her brother was dead, and they were mourning the death of their brother. Mourning the death of one who was Christ's friend. They knew each other. She came not looking for anything other than comfort. And that's what we have as well, is we have a place to go. We have the very best place to go when we know we need to be comforted. Not everything has to be some great. I didn't know she knew that Christ was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He could, and he did. But she needed comforting. She needed comforting. Not everything is an ask, like undo it, or intervene in the way that I would do it. But Lord, I need to be comforted. That there's a source of peace and comfort that we can go to, that we have, and that's at his feet. The one who is the one who is the God of comfort and peace. Mary goes and she finds comfort at the feet of Jesus. And then we know that he calls Lazarus from the grave. This place of comfort, this source of comfort where we can go and should go to the very feet of our Lord, is one who stands as our intermediary or in between. We're very blessed at the meeting over at Grace a couple weekends ago. I think it was last week. Brother Mark preached on the high priest, on Jesus Christ being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, one who is different than the Levitical priesthood. I tell you, we have a high priest. We have one who at this very moment and forevermore stands at the right hand of God, who it is his very role and his promise to stand as the high priest for his people. He stands as your high priest. We bring our cares and our burdens and our anxieties and our things that we have that in our pain. We bring our pain to him, our high priest. And when I even fell in bringing all my pain and my worry to him, that doesn't stop him. That doesn't short circuit the way that he works. Because the things that I fail to say or to profess before him, he still knows about them. Because all the things that I go through, all the pain that I go through, and all the pain that you go through, he feels them. Why? Because he's not like a Levitical priest. Because he's the one who's after the order of Melchizedek. One who he feels the very feelings and groanings of our heart. We don't have a high priest who's not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Mary, this Mary who needed comfort. This Mary who came to the right place, to the feet of her Lord, she needed comforting. And what she found out is that she had a high priest. The very high priest who stood there. And in his love, and his compassion, and his role of being her high priest, and feeling the very pain that Mary felt, he felt it. Not in just, beyond even a true empathy thing. He feels it, every bit of that, and he is able to intercede in a way that no other man could do. It's just the same for us. We have the feet of our Lord where we're called to come to, and we find peace and comfort in a place where we can find it in no other place. Let's turn back to Luke. Let's go to chapter 17. The Lord visits with this little group of 10 lepers. And leprosy was just a horrible condition that one would find themselves in. And it was one that would make them an outcast. It just ravished their bodies naturally. They became outcast from the rest of the community. But the Lord comes. And he visits with these 10 lepers. And he heals all 10 of them. And I truly believe, Brother Jimmy, that healing leprosy, being in the condition of being a leper, that didn't happen very often, if like hardly ever, that they would be healed of that condition. It wasn't like the recovery rate, Brother Steve, was like a high percentage. It was like, no, it didn't happen, right? Here, 10 lepers, one day, one place, one source of deliverance came by the power of Jesus Christ. He did a miraculous thing here with this little group of lepers. It changed their lives from that point on. And we pick up here, and it says, let's go verse 14, Luke 17, 14. It says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, it says, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. They were heading up. They were going to show themselves to the priest. The priests were going to have to look into the bylaws and see all the beautiful ceremony of declaring one clean from leprosy. I don't think they ever really used that. But they were with 9 individuals cleansed from leprosy. It says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I can imagine that, what that must have been like. Go show yourself to the priest, and they go, turn around, and they start walking into town, walking into Jerusalem, heading towards the temple. And then all of a sudden, things just, I think it just started changing. And he saw that he was healed. It was evident within his flesh that he was healed from this thing. How joyful he must have been in that moment. Like, wow. I mean, it's wild to think about. And he turned to Jesus Christ. And he glorified God. He knew who needed to be glorified in that moment. It's like he was shouting a praise to God who he had been delivered of. And it says, and fell down on his face. Where? Where was the right place for him to fall down on his face? At the feet of Jesus Christ. He fell down on his face, at his feet. It says, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This one who knew who had delivered him, he must glorify God in that moment. He was like full of thanks. And he had the right place to offer that thanks. That's another thing that we have at the feet of our Lord. To be able to go to Him and to fall down to Him and to thank Him for all the things that the Lord has blessed us with, the graces the Lord has shown us in our lives. That place, His feet, is a place to give thanks and glory to God who deserves every bit of it. Every good gift, give Him thanks. Every perfect gift that the Lord graces us with, give Him thanks. And give Him thanks where it ought to be, is at His feet, falling down in gratitude and thanksgiving for all the things the Lord has blessed us with. It's a place for asking. It's a place for us to beseech Him and to take our burdens to. You know what I'm not as consistent with? And I try to be careful about it. I'm good about asking the Lord, hey, I need your deliverance here. I do not often turn back. I don't often turn back. I don't often turn to Him after I see the deliverance and fall down again in thanksgiving. It's the right place in asking, and it's the perfect place in after the deliverance to return thanks for the Lord and His great graces towards us. Let's go to chapter 10 of Luke. And I appreciate your patience as we turn to these different places, but I think we can see these layers of things to consider when we think about this place. Luke chapter 10. And this is before we see the deliverance of Lazarus and Mary coming to the Lord. Mary was at the feet of the Lord before this. Verse 38, Luke 10, 38 says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which was sat, where do you think she was? At the feet of her Lord, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard His words. Can you see that? Can you see where, like what she looked like? In my mind, I can imagine what her body looked like, of her posture, of her eyes, and her attention towards one who was saying things. What we read in Scripture that no man spake like this man, Jesus. She'd heard people talk before. She had heard people teach before, to speak of things before. But there was something different about Jesus Christ who was there in that house. And she sat and she just looked at her Lord in admiration and love and attentiveness, because she was learning some stuff. She was hearing from God manifest in the flesh. It moved her. It was something that was powerful in her mind and in her heart. And I believe at that moment she hung on every single word the Lord was saying. Because this man spake like no other man. These words were powerful in a way that no other man's words could be. She was hearing from God, and it moved her. She was sitting at the Lord's feet, and she was learning. We have the feet of Jesus to go to and to learn of Him. Do we have that just in the church setting? No, we have it other places too. You know, you can be sitting at your house looking in His Word just by yourself. A quiet afternoon, and you reach over and you grab your Bible. No one's making you. And you decide. The Lord gives you the grace to say, I'm going to sit right now and I'm going to be reading my Bible. Why? Out of duty? Well, it is our duty, but no, because we're going to be in that very merry moment that she is at, where she is learning of her Lord. Found low and at the feet of her Savior, desiring to know more about Him. Do we have it in His church setting? Absolutely. That's a good place to be. That's a peaceful, beautiful place to be, is at our Lord's feet, learning of Him. And the Lord even acknowledges the fact that he clears things up with Martha, that Mary has chosen that good part. This is a good place to be. Yes, service in the Lord's house, that's good and it's needful and it's appreciated. But I tell you that above that is at the feet of our Lord, learning of Him, hearing His words, being admonished and strengthened and edified by the words of our Lord when we learn of Him. We'll go to Luke chapter 7. I'm trying to figure out how much I got to... I encourage us all to read this and to get a lot of the context and the beautiful pictures around these verses. But in these scenes, what we find is these people, these individuals, at the feet of our Lord. And He sits there. The Lord sits there with those. Let's pick up here in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down at meat. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. I believe that alabaster box of ointment she had for herself. It was a very costly thing. It was for her. I believe she had it for her own burial. But she brought that possession of hers, and she had a desire to anoint the Savior, to anoint Jesus Christ's body before His death. Beautiful pictures of those things. But she came desiring, she didn't really have an ask. She didn't come like with a desire, all right, Lord, I need to be delivered from something. I don't even think it was, I think what we see here is just flat out, it's just worship. She had a desire to be at the feet of Jesus Christ, her Lord, her Savior, her High Priest. She had a desire to be in this place of the feet of Jesus Christ for worship. She knew she had this desire to worship her Lord. And behold, a woman in the city was a sinner. She came, brought that alabaster box, and stood at His feet behind Him, just weeping, and began to wash His feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You just see her pouring out her love towards her Lord, pouring out how she felt about her Lord. And it was one of just worship, that He deserved. He all that she had, she was willing to just pour it out on Him. And we pick up here after the conversation he had had with those that sat at meat with Him. Verse 45, it says, Thou gavest... Verse 44. And He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no bread, for water for my, I entered to thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hast washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. He was correcting, he was teaching about forgiveness, about this sin, of being forgiven of sin, and that yielding this great appreciation, love, and that this one who was at his feet was just expressing the thanks and appreciation and worship towards the Lord for all that she knew she had been forgiven. And he was acknowledging that. But what we can see is, let me just try to cut to what I'm thinking. The picture of worship has a meaning and a picture of a dog at its master's feet or hand. But Jimmy, I'm not really a dog person. We haven't ever had a dog. We told our boys probably not going to ever have a dog. But we get it though. Like, because we know people that, I know people that have dogs. I get the sense of it. An owner and a dog, there's this relationship. I don't know. That dog comes up and in love licks the master's hand. There's this picture there. I know you're my master and I love you and I'll do whatever, right? To like think about, you know, what a dog thinks about. I don't know. The point is this picture of just this coming up and licking the master's hand in love and knowing that that's the master, right? That's a picture of worship. And here, this woman, her Lord, her Savior, her Master, her love that she had for Him, and she's just worshiping. Is He not worthy to be worshipped? Our great Lord who delivers us, who we can take our burdens to, the one who we ought to give thanks to, this place that we have, we can find comfort and peace and rest. This place that we have at the feet of our Lord is a place where we, His people, His children, with the great love that we have for Him, just to go and to be close to Him and to kiss His feet and to show our worship to our Lord. I don't really like the idea of being pictured as a dog. Don't think about it that way. Think of being a sheep. He is our shepherd. We are His sheep. And we're drawn nigh to Him, to our Lord, and he extends His love towards us. You know, there's one there in Matthew chapter, well, we're going to go there. I didn't intend to go there, but we're going to go there. This beautiful language. There's this Gentile woman who the Lord has an interaction with. She gets referred to as a dog. Because, you know, the Gentiles, the Jewish people looked at the Gentiles as like a lesser level of human being. Like seen as dogs. Like there's us, God's people, and then there's them, those dogs. Right? And this whole interaction, this is the Lord teaching her and teaching them about His love towards His people, towards His whole family, including this Gentile woman. He loves her. And He's going to teach her that. He's going to teach those around that same thing. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She came bringing her burdens to the feet of her Lord. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. it almost looks like he's trying to actively ignore her or to set her aside. And that makes us uncomfortable, but he's doing it to teach a lesson. He's showing something here that is going to put her in a place of being appreciative. She went to the right place. She went to the right place. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me. Help me." I believe she came worshiping him. Coming up to the master's hand and licking it. Care and love and submission and reverence to the feet of Jesus Christ. And he answered and said, "It is not meet," or it's not appropriate, it's not the right thing to do. "It is not meet to take the children's bread," and that's speaking of the Jewish family, right? The Israelites. "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to" what? "The dogs." Can you imagine what the Jewish people must have been thinking at that thought or that saying? Like, yeah, right? That's right. Take the children's bread, our bread, the stuff that we deserve, and to cast it to those Gentiles, right? But that's not what he's teaching here. It says, and she said to this sentence, because he was saying, it's not right for us to take their bread and to give it to you, a dog. It's not what he was saying. What she heard, what she saw in this was, but he answered and said, she said, "Truth, Lord." You can see it in her love and in her eyes towards her Lord. "Truth, Lord. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Where did she go? She went to the right place. She went to the feet of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She went to the Son of God. She went to her high priest. She went to her one that she can go to. And she besought him, "Lord, help." Are we going to find help in any other place than this place? Lord, help! He's teaching them about the bread and all that. She says, "Even the dogs eat of the crumbs of the master's table. You're my master, and I'm your dog." Brother Mark, he mentioned that, I think, last weekend about the Lord didn't see her as like some stray, but rather like a lap dog. I love that. Right? I'm not a dog person. I still love that. Right? She says, I might be a dog, but I'm your dog. I'm loved of you, and I eat of just the crumbs from your table and the crumbs from our Lord's table. Just how... Well, the Lord bids us come to His feet. And when we come to His feet... Oh, and before we just leave that, and Jesus answered her, He acknowledges... He was teaching them, but now He's making sure He clarifies for His dear loved child who came to the right place. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That daughter who was... What does it say there? "My daughter is vexed with the devil." That problem was, she was delivered from that problem at that very moment, right? At that time, the Lord delivered her and showed her that your faith is so great and your daughter will be healed, right? He delivered her in that moment. She went to the right place. And I tell you, friends, we have those same feet. We have His feet. We have that place to go. And it's not a place that we just, whenever we need it, when we need it, we can go there. But that's not the only time we can go there or should go there. It's okay for us to go there and stay there and live our lives there in that place. My problem is that at those dear feet that I know I can go to, I too soon remove myself from that place. Those visits with my Lord seem short. But it's oftentimes that I'm too soon removed from that place. It's good for us to know where to go, and it's even better for us to go there and stay there throughout our lives. Stay at the feet of Jesus Christ. Go to that place to take our burdens to, and unload them at that place, and find comfort and strength in that place. Give thanksgiving in that place. Praise Him and worship Him at that place, at the very feet of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're called to repent and to turn to Him. And when we get there, let's fall down at the feet of our Lord and worship Him, that sweet and precious place that we have. Enoch is a good example of this. We find that there was one Enoch in the Old Testament. He lived like 365, like a long time. And it says that Enoch walked so close to God. He walked close and near to God. That's such a beautiful picture of that. It wasn't like he knew where to go and he'd go there and then he'd remove himself from it. No, he just walked with God. And then one day he was not. I want to have a more of an Enoch type life as I go on. Not just go to Him when I need Him. We have Him when we need Him. But let's walk near Him. Let's have an Enoch type life. I pray that this has been of a benefit and that most certainly it doesn't detract from the things we've been thinking about and the Lord has blessed us with.